far more than the austere corporate cafeteria. And besides, she didn't need anything fancy to do her job. She had a simple desk and a big interface panel and a small pixel plant Jenks had given her to make up for the lack of window. Why was it the people who worked with numbers always got tucked away in back rooms? The plant looked nothing like the real thing, of course. The smiling face and color-changing petals resembled nothing in nature. It was programmed with some behavioral recognition software that could tell when she'd gone a while without standing, or drinking, or taking a break, and would chirp cheerful reminders in response. Hey there, you need to hydrate. How about a snack? Take a walk, stretch it out. The effect was cheesy, and sometimes a little jarring when she was focused on her work, but she appreciated the sentiment. She sipped a mug of boring tea as she puzzled over one of Kizzy's expense sheets. The mech tech had a habit of annotating things with shorthand that she alone understood. At first, Rosemary had assumed that it was some sort of tech lingo, but no, Jenks had quietly confirmed that this was Kizzy's own special way of staying organized. Rosemary squinted at the screen. 5,500 credits-ish. WRSS. She made a flicking motion with her left hand, pulling up a file entitled Kizzy Speak, her cheat sheet for acronyms that she had deciphered. ES, engine stuff. TB, tools and bits. CRCT, circuits. But no WRSS wasn't there. She made a note to ask Kizzy about it. The door spun open, and Corbin entered the room. Before she could say hello, he set a black mechanical object on her desk. "What's this?" he asked. Her heart hammered, as it usually did whenever Corbin approached her. Speaking to him always felt like more of an ambush than a conversation. She looked at the object. "That's the saline filter I ordered for you."
"Yes," he said. "Notice anything?"
Rosemary swallowed. She looked hard at the filter, which she only recognized as a filter because there'd been a picture of it on the merchant's linking page. She gave an awkward smile. "I can't say that I know much about algae tech," she said, trying to keep her voice easy.
"That much is obvious," Corbin said.
He flipped the filter round and pointed to the label.
"Model 4546C44.
He stared at her, expectantly.
Oh no.
Rosemary's mind raced, trying to remember the order form. There had been so many. Was that not what you wanted?
Corbin's sour face answered her question. "I specifically asked for C45. The C44 has a coupling port that is narrower than the junction in the tank. I'll have to add a new attachment in order to make it connect properly."
Rosemary had been pulling up archived forms as he spoke. There it was. Triton Advanced Saline Filter, Model 4546C45. Shit. I'm so sorry, Corbin. I don't know what happened. I must have selected the wrong model. But at least this one will work, right? The second the words were out of her mouth, she knew they had been a mistake.
"That's not the point, Rosemary," Corbin said, as if speaking to a child.
"What if I had required something more vital than a saline filter?
You said it yourself. You don't know much about algae tech. You can get away with mistakes like this in some cushy planet-side office, but not on a long-haul ship. The smallest component can be the difference between getting to port safely and decompressing out in the open."
"I'm sorry," Rosemary said again. "I'll be more careful next time."
"See that you do."
Corbin picked up the filter and walked to the door.
"It really isn't that hard,"
he said with his back to her. The door spun shut behind him. Rosemary sat staring at her desk. Sissix had told her not to let Corbin get under her skin, but she had screwed up this time, and it was a careless mistake, too.
Decompressing didn't sound so bad right then.
"Aw, it's not so bad,"
chirped the pixel plant. Give yourself a hug!
Oh, shut up, Rosemary said.
Ashby tripped over a length of tubing as he walked through the engine room.
What?
He craned his head round the corner to find an avalanche of cables pouring out of the wall. The entire bracing panel had been removed. He tiptoed his way around the tangled mess, careful not to step on any fluid-filled tubes. As he approached the open wall, he heard someone sniff.
Kizzy?
The mech tech was sitting inside the wall, hugging her knees, tools scattered alongside. Her face was smudged with gunk and grease, as usual, but a tear or two had created clean pathways down her cheeks. She looked up at him pitifully. Even the ribbons in her hair looked limp.
I'm having a bad day, she said.
Ashby leaned inside the open panel. What's up? She sniffed again, rubbing her nose with the back of her hand.
I slept awful. I had nightmares out the ass, and by the time I got to sleep, my alarm was going off. So today was dumb from the get-go, and then I was like, hey, I've still got some jam cakes left, and that cheered me up. But then I got to the kitchen, and somebody ate the last of them last night, and they didn't ask me at all, and I still don't know who it was. So then I went to the shower, and I whacked my knee against the sink like a genius, and it's totally bruised. And I had a mouthful of dent bots at the time, so I kind of swallowed some, and Dr. Chef says it's okay, but I have a tummy ache, which he said would happen. And then I finally got to take my stupid shower, but I noticed that the pressure was weird, so we started poking around the water reclamation systems. And I can tell there's a whole line of cabling that's fucked up, but I haven't found it yet, and now there's this big mess on the floor, and I still haven't got to any of the other stuff I needed to do today. And then I remembered that today's my cousin Kip's birthday, and he always has the best parties, and I'm totally missing it.
She sniffed again.
And I know how stupid that all sounds, but I'm just not with it today. Not at all.
Ashby put his hand on top of hers.
We all have days like that.
I guess.
But you know, it's not even lunchtime yet. There's time for it to get better from here.
She gave a glum nod.
Yeah.
What was on your to-do list today?
Cleaning, mostly.
The air filters all need a scrub. A sun lamp down in the fishbowl needs new wiring. And there's a floor panel coming loose in Ohan's room.
Is any of that vital?
No. But it needs to get done.
Just worry about getting the water lines fixed today. The rest can wait.
He squeezed her hand.
And hey, there's nothing I can do about your cousin's birthday, but I know how tough that is. I'm sorry we've got such a long haul this time.
Oh, stop,
she said.
It's oodles of cash, and I love what we do. It's not like I'm your indentured servant or something. It was my choice to leave home.
Just because you leave home doesn't mean you stop caring about it. You wouldn't get homesick otherwise, and your family knows you care. I keep an eye on our linking traffic, you know? I see how many vid packs get sent to your family.
Kizzy gave a mighty sniff and pointed to the hallway.
You have to go now, she said, because I have work and you're making me cry more. Not in a bad way, but you're making me all mushy, and if I hug you, I'll get gunk all over that nice shirt, which really brings out your eyes, by the way.
Hey, everybody, Lovey said through the nearest fox. There's a mail drone inbound. Packages on board for Ashby, Corbin, Jenks, Dr. Chef, and Kizzy. It'll be here in about 10 minutes.
Eek!
Cried Kizzy.
Mail! A mail drone!
She tumbled out of the wall and ran down the hallway with her arms outstretched like shuttle wings.
Interstellar goodies incoming!
Ashby grinned. Told you the day would get better, he called after her. She was too busy whooshing to reply.
The cargo bay hatch adjusted itself, shrinking down to fit the mail drone's delivery port.
As Ashby and the others waited, Sissix walked through the door. She'd put on a pair of trousers, and it looked like Dr. Chef had taken care of the molting problem.
Hey, Ashby said. Feeling better?
Much, she said. Her skin was oddly bright, and a few dry ridges still lingered, but at least she didn't look like a peeling onion anymore. "I don't think there's anything for you." "So?" She shrugged and smiled. "I'm nosy."
"Just a moment," Lovey said. "I'm scanning the contents for contaminants."
"Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy," said Kizzy. "It's my birthday!"
"Your birthday's not until middle year," said Jenks.
"But it feels like my birthday. I love getting mail."
"It's probably just those lockjaw clips you ordered."
"Jenks, do you know how great lockjaw clips are? There's nothing they can't hold down. Even my hair can't work its way out of them, and that's saying a lot."
Ashby glanced over his shoulder at her. "I'm gonna pretend like you weren't talking about using the tech supplies I buy as hair accessories." Kizzy pressed her lips together.
"Only in emergencies."
"All clear," Lovey said. The hatch hissed open. A tray slid forward, holding a large, sealed container. Ashby took the container and swiped his wrist wrap over the scan seal. The container gave an affirmative beep. A corresponding beep echoed from the mail drone on the other side of the hull. The tray retracted, and the hatch closed. There was a muffled clank as the mail drone detached, off to find its next recipient. Ashby unsealed the lid and sorted through the parcels within. They were all plainly packaged, but even so, there was something charming about a bunch of boxes and tubes marked with his crew members' names. It did feel a little like a holiday. "Hey, Kizzy," he said, handing her a large package, "before you explode." Kizzy's eyes grew wide.
"It's not lockjaw clips. It's not lockjaw clips. I know who makes labels like this."
She slid back the lid and cheered.
"It's for my dad's."
She dropped cross-legged onto the floor and pulled the lid open. Atop the package's contents, snacks and sundries it looked like, was an info chip. Kizzy pulled her scrib from her belt, plugged in the chip, and began reading the text that appeared on the screen. Her face melted with sentiment.
"It's a Just Cuz box," she said. "They are the best, the best."
She tore into a fresh pack of fire shrimp as she continued reading. Ashby pulled out a small domed container, blinking with biohazard warnings.
"Do I even want to know what this is?"
Dr. Chef puffed his cheeks.
"Those will be my new seedlings. Completely harmless, I assure you. They have to put those warnings on any live cargo."
"I know, it's just unnerving."
Dr. Chef leaned close to Ashby, his eyes twinkling.
"Don't tell, but if this is the order I think it is, I've now got a few starters of rosemary plants."
Ashby flipped over a box with a familiar brand logo, the same one he'd seen on a lot of algae tech.
"Corbin," he said, handing over the box, "this looks like it's for you."
Corbin opened the box and took out a circulation pump. He peered at the label and gave a short nod.
"Seems our clerk can read order forms after all."
He headed for the exit.
"Well, good,"
said Ashby noncommittally. He pulled a tiny box from the mail crate. "Jenks." Jenks opened the box and removed an info chip.
"What's that?"
Sissix asked.
"It's from Pepper," Jenks said.
He stared at the chip for a moment.
I bet it's those lateral circuit specs she mentioned last time I saw her."
"Those sounded sweet," Kizzy said. She frowned. "Why not just send them to your scrib?"
Jenks shrugged and put the chip in his pocket.
"You know Pepper. She does things in her own special way."
Ashby leaned over the mail crate. There was one small, flat package remaining, addressed to himself. The label had no indication of who had sent it, but it required a wrist wrap scan. A flap snapped open as his wrist passed over it, and a frail, rectangular object fell into Ashby's waiting palm.
"What is that?"
Sissix asked. Jenks let out a low whistle and stepped closer.
"That's paper."
Kizzy's head snapped up.
"Whoa,"
she said, goggling at the object.
"Is that a letter? Like a physical one?"
She jumped to her feet.
"Can I touch it?"
Jenks smacked her hand away. "You've got fire shrimp crumbs all over your fingers." Kizzy stuck a finger in her mouth, sucked it clean,
and wiped it off on her work suit. Jenks smacked her hand again. Now you've got crumbs and spit. A letter's not a scrib, Kizzy. You can't wash it off.
It's that fragile?
It's made from very thin sheets of dried tree pulp. What do you think? Ashby ran his fingers along the leaf-like edges, doing his best to look nonchalant. It was from Pei. It had to be. Who else would go to that much trouble to send a message that couldn't be monitored? He turned the letter over in his hands. How do I, Here, Jenks said, extending his palm. My hands are clean. Ashby handed over the letter. Kiz, do you have your knife on you? Kizzy unsnapped a folded utility knife from her belt and handed it to Jenks. Her eyes widened with realization.
Wait, you're gonna cut it?
That's how you get the letter out of the envelope? He flicked open the blade. Would you rather I tear it? Kizzy looked horrified.
Jenks deftly sliced the paper open.
My mom used to give me letters on special occasions when I was a kid, he said. Very special occasions. This stuff's expensive as hell.
He raised a wry eyebrow at Ashby.
Somebody must like you a lot to send you this.
Like who? Kizzy asked. Jenks put his fist up to his mouth and gave an exaggerated, harumphing cough. Oh, said Kizzy in a stage whisper. I'll be going back to my snacks, then.
She backed away with a knowing chuckle.
Ashby glanced over to the others. Sissix was smirking. Dr. Chef's whiskers twitched in amusement.
All right, shut up, all of you.
He walked away, leaving the others to examine their new items while he read his letter in peace. Hello, Ashby. Before you become too impressed with my ability to print by hand, you should know that I wrote all of this out on my scrib first. I tore through one of the sheets on my first try. Honestly, how did your species communicate like this for millennia without becoming nervous wrecks? Oh, wait, right. Never mind. It feels like ages since Port Coriel. I miss your hands. I miss sharing a bed. I miss sharing stories. I'll never understand how you can be so patient with someone who can't talk to you for 10 days at a time. I'm not sure one of my own would have stayed with me through this. You humans and your blind stubbornness. Believe me, it's Jenks, Ashby, Sissix, anyone. It was Lovey. She sounded frantic. We're in trouble. Everyone in the cargo bay stopped to stare at the Vox. Out in the open, trouble was even less of a good thing than it was on the ground.
What's the problem? Ashby said.
There's a ship, another ship, coming in right at us. They've been blocking my scans with a dispersal field. Ashby, I'm so sorry.
That's not your fault, Lovey, Jenks said. Stay calm. What kind of ship?
Ashby said. I don't know, Lovey said. Smaller than us. Pinhole drive. I think it's a very small homesteader, but I don't know why a homestead ship would...
Corbin came running back into the cargo bay. Ship! He gasped. Out the window. It's...
The whole ship rocked. The sounds of falling objects clanged down the hallway. Everyone started shouting. Ashby's stomach dropped. Something had hit them.
Lovey, what?
Some kind of weapon blast. Our navigation's knocked out. Sissix hissed profanities. Kizzy nodded at Jenks and jumped to her feet. Let's go, she said.
No,
Lovey said. I can get us moving in 5 minutes, but the primary navigation hub's completely fused. I can't tell which way we're going.
Fused?
Kizzy cried. What the fuck did they hit us with?
Lovey, are you sure?
Sissix looked at Ashby.
I can navigate the old-fashioned way, but not in 5 minutes. Not if we want to be safe about it.
Pirates, said Jenks.
Remember, Kiz, on the news? Fucking pirates following mail drones in. Using scatter bursts to fry nav systems.
Oh, no, moaned Corbin. Ashby stared at Jenks.
Lovey, how long until they reach us?
Half a minute. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. This isn't happening, Kizzy said. They can't!
Shit, said Jenks. Quick! Everybody, hide your stuff!
He pulled open an empty crate and threw Kizzy's package in.
Dr. Chef followed suit. There was a crash, a horrible, scraping, wrenching crash, right into the cargo bay doors. Corbin jumped behind a crate and covered his head. "They're overriding the door controls," Lovey said. "Ashby, I..." "It's okay, Lovey," Ashby said. "We'll take care of it." He had no idea what that would entail. "Oh, fuck," Kizzy said, tugging at her hair. "Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck." "Stay calm," Dr. Chef said. He put his arm around Kizzy's shoulders. "Everyone stay calm." Ashby took a few steps toward the bay doors, dumbfounded. This wasn't real. It couldn't be. A whirring sound on the other side argued otherwise. The doors clanked open. Sissix stood beside him, shoulders back, feathers on end. "I don't know what to do," she said. "Me neither," Ashby said. "Think, damn it." His brain cycled through a jumble of options. Find a weapon, run away, hide, hit them with something. But there was no time. 4 sapients in hulking mech suits came through the bay doors, all carrying battered pulse rifles. Their suits were large, bigger than a human, but the creatures housed within were small, spindly, bird-like. Acoraks. Ashby had seen Acoraks before, on Port Coriel. Everyone knew how the Harmagians had treated them back in the colonial days. Their planet was left barren, their water sources polluted, their forests stripped. Their home world had nothing for them, but neither did anywhere else. They were a rare sight out in the galaxy, but they could be found here and there, working in scrapyards or begging on corners. Or, if they had run out of options, boarding ships and taking what they pleased. Ashby put up his palms. The Acoraks' voices came from tiny voxes inlaid below their helmets, shrieking and shrill. They weren't speaking Klip. "Don't shoot," Ashby said. "Please, I can't understand you. Klip? Do you speak Klip?" There was no discernible response, only shrieks and clicks and angry waves of their weapons. The words meant nothing to him, but the guns did. Ashby felt a bead of sweat trickle down his brow. He brushed his hand across his face. "Okay, listen, we'll cooperate, just..." The world exploded in pain as an Acorax swung the butt of its rifle up to meet Ashby's jaw. The Acorax, the cargo bay, Sissix shouting, Kizzy screaming, Jenks cursing, all of it disappeared behind a curtain of red light. His knees buckled. The floor rushed up to meet his face. Then nothing. Rosemary wasn't sure what she'd been expecting to see when she ran down to the cargo bay, but there was too much going on for her to think clearly. The bay doors had been wrenched open. 4 armed Acoraks, wearing mech suits, were yelling at everyone in some weird Harmagian-inspired dialect she couldn't make sense of. Ashby was unconscious, she hoped, on the floor, cradled by Kizzy, who was crying. The rest of the crew were on their knees with their hands in the air. Rosemary barely had time to process any of it before the Acoraks, startled by her sudden appearance, pointed their weapons at her, croaking strange words in a tone that would have sounded angry in any language. "I..." Rosemary stammered, raising her palms in the air. "What?" The Acorak closest to her, Zer mech suit was trimmed with blue, ran at her, croaking the whole way. Z shoved a gun in her face. Jenks started yelling back at the other Acoraks. "She's unarmed, you fucking animals! Leave her alone!" The biggest Acorak, Zer suit nearly 3 times Jenks's size, shook Zer weapon at the comtech and pointed towards Ashby. The threat was unmistakable. "Be quiet, or the same will happen to you." Jenks's hands balled into fists. There was a hum as the Acorak's weapons began to charge. "Am I about to die?" Rosemary wondered. The thought was bewildering. "Rosemary," Sissix said over the din. "Hanto. Try Hanto." Rosemary wet her lips, trying to ignore the weapon beneath her nose. She met Sissix's eyes, scared, but insistent, encouraging. She dug her fingernails into her palms so that no one could see her hands shaking. She looked down the gun barrel. She spoke. "Kiba, Vus,
Hanto M?
The Acorax fell silent. Everyone froze.
Yes, Blue Suit said.
Z turns her head back towards the others and pointed at Rosemary. Finally. The gun did not move.
The big Acorax stormed towards her. We will take your food and all supplies that are of use to us, Z said. If you do not comply, we will kill you.
We will comply, Rosemary said. There is no need for violence. My name is Rosemary. You may call me Roska. This had been her chosen name in secondary school Harmagian class. I will speak your needs to my crew.
Blue Suit pulled the gun back, but kept it pointed at her. The Acorax croaked among themselves.
The big Acorax gestured acknowledgement to Rosemary.
I am our captain. You will not be able to pronounce my name, and I will not pretend to have another. Are there others elsewhere aboard your ship?
Our navigator is in his quarters. He is a peaceful man, and is of no danger to anyone.
Rosemary thought it best to not confuse the issue with plural pronouns.
Captain Big huffed.
If this is a trick, I will shoot you.
Z turned and croaked to one of the others, who ran up the stairs.
What's going on?
Sissix asked. They're going to get Ohan, said Rosemary. I've explained they're no threat, and that we're willing to cooperate.
She cleared her throat and switched back to Hanto.
My crew agrees to help. Please tell us what you require.
Food, Blue Suit said, and tech.
A thought appeared. Rosemary knew little of Acorax culture, but from what she had read of them, she did know that they greatly valued the concepts of balance and fairness. The idea of taking more than you could make use of hadn't even occurred to them until the Harmagians showed up. She had heard that those values still lingered. That much was apparent even in the phrasing that Captain Big had chosen. We will take your food and all supplies that are of use to us. In Hanto, the semantics of those words strongly implied, and nothing else. Her mind raced, wondering if that scrap of knowledge was enough to gamble with. A large part of her argued in favor of self-preservation. Shut up, just give them everything. You're going to get shot. But the braver thought won out. How many are aboard your ship? Are there any children?
Blue Suit snarled and raised the gun again.
What difference does it make how many we are? You will do as we say.
Rosemary wiggled her fingers in a calming gesture. I will. But if there is any way that you can spare us enough food to last us until the next market, we would be humbly grateful. We do not wish to die out here any more than you do. Furthermore, I have read that Acorax young have very specific nutritional needs. If you have children aboard, we must make sure that our food does not lack for nourishment.
Captain Big considered this.
We do have children aboard, Z said at last.
Rosemary took this as a good sign. Ashby's injured face and the pulse rifles aside, these people didn't seem violent. Just desperate.
And, yes, their needs are great. We may not find what we need aboard your ship.
Then let me offer this, Rosemary said, treading carefully. One of us will show you our food stores. As I understand it, the Kesh Toem Market is less than a 10-day from here. We will not be traveling there, as we cannot stray from our flight path. Take from us only what you need to last you the trip to Kesh Toem, and we will give you credits and trade-worthy supplies so that you may purchase more suitable food. This way, your young will get what they need, and we will not starve on our journey.
The Acorax talked among themselves. Rosemary dug her nails in harder, hoping the pain would quiet the tremors beneath her skin. Her entire offer banked on a tiny piece of possibly erroneous info that she'd tucked away during one lone semester of Intro to Harmagian Colonial History. If she was wrong, well, she'd find out soon enough. At least they were all still breathing. Ashby was breathing, right?
Rosemary, Sissix said. How are we doing?
We're okay, said Rosemary. I hope.
Hang on. We find this acceptable, Captain Big said. What sort of fuel do you use?
Algae.
We will take some of that as well. Are they asking about fuel?
Corbin said.
Because I just siphoned off the skim yesterday, and it's taken 5-10 days for this batch to get...
Corbin, Dr. Chef said with deadly calm, be quiet.
And for once, Corbin had nothing further to say.
What did the pink man say? Captain Vig said.
He is our algaeist, Rosemary said. He is merely concerned about the product he has worked so hard to produce. But you will have fuel. There is no trouble.
Captain Big tapped Zer Chin inside Zer mech suit.
If we take 10 barrels, will you have enough to reach your next destination?
Rosemary asked Corbin the question. He nodded sullenly.
Yes, 10 barrels would not be a problem, she said. The conversation had gone from frightening to bizarre. The inflections that Captain Big was using didn't have a parallel in Clip, but in Hanto, they were downright polite. She would expect to hear this kind of talk in a shop or a restaurant, not while standing at gunpoint. It was as if the Acorax thought of her as a merchant, with the threat of violence serving as currency.
We will require technical supplies as well, Captain Big said. Our engines are in need of repair.
Rosemary gestured understanding. Kizzy, do you know anything about the ship we're flying? Would any of our tech be compatible?
Some of it, maybe, I don't know.
Our tech believes some of our equipment may work with yours, but she can make no promises. She will help you find what you need.
Very well, Captain Big said. You will accompany me, along with your tech, so that you may translate our needs.
She, Z gestured at Blue Suit, will go with one of your crew to gather food. The others of my party will stay with the rest of your crew here. You seem to be a reasonable people, but we will not hesitate to kill you should you try to overthrow us.
You have our complete cooperation, said Rosemary. We do not wish for either of our crews to come to harm.
Rosemary began to explain the deal to the rest of the crew. Everyone nodded, looking a little less tense, though still afraid. The humming of the guns had stopped.
We might just get out of this, Rosemary thought, just before the fourth Acorax reappeared and threw Ohan into the room.
The other Acorax went nuts. A frenzied conversation took place, with the Acorax all talking over one another and Rosemary trying to interject where she could.
What the hell is going on? Sissek said.
They want to take Ohan, Rosemary said. The Wayfarer's crew exploded.
What? Said Kizzy.
My ass, said Jenks. For what? Asked Sissek.
To sell them, Rosemary said.
What? Kizzy cried. A pair would fetch a fine price on the right planet, Dr. Chef said.
If it keeps you all from harm, Ohan began.
No, said Jenks. No way. Rosemary, you tell those fucking birds in their fucking hack job suits so they can shove...
Jenks, shut the fuck up,
Kizzy said, holding Ashby's head protectively. His blood looked sticky on her hands.
Stop it. Stop it, all of you. You'll get us all killed,
Corbin said.
You shut up too, Corbin.
Calm your crew, said Captain Big, or there will be violence.
Shut up, everybody, shut up, Rosemary yelled.
She turned towards Captain Big. Ohan is part of our crew. We have cooperated with all your other demands, but this...
This man could end our poverty, said Captain Big. He would be of great use to us. You would do the same in our place.
No, I would not. Captain Big pondered this.
Perhaps. But even so, you have little choice right now.
Offer him something else, said Sissek.
Like what? Rosemary said.
Ambi, said Kizzy. Give him the Ambi cells.
The Acorax froze. At last, a word in Clip they understood.
You have Ambi aboard your vessel?
Yes, said Rosemary. We will give you the Ambi freely if you leave the Navigator with us. What is to stop us from taking both the Ambi and the Navigator? Blue Suit asked, raising her rifle. Rosemary felt her stomach sink. Fair point. They want to know why they can't take the Ambi and Ohan.
Shit, Jenk said. Why do I ever say anything? Tizzy moaned.
Dr. Chef spoke. Tell them that Ohan is of no value to them. Rosemary translated. The Acorax demanded an explanation. Why? She asked Dr. Chef. Because Ohan is dying. The Wayfarer's crew turned to stare at Dr. Chef. Ohan closed their eyes and said nothing. Rosemary collected herself. It was a bluff, surely. She relayed the news to the Acorax. The Acorax shrank back. The one who had thrown Ohan into the room recoiled. Is he contagious?
I don't think so, Rosemary said.
Dr. Chef, some help, please. Ohan is in the final stages of a cyanide pair's life, Dr. Chef explained. They will not last more than a year. He paused and added, any buyer who might consider purchasing a cyanide pair would be familiar enough with the species to know the signs. Rosemary translated.
You may be lying, Captain Big said, but the risk of wasting fuel and food on useless cargo outweighs the possible gains, especially in light of the Ambi. We will leave him, then, but you will give us your entire stock of Ambi cells.
Rosemary agreed. Ohan stays, she said to the crew.
Oh, stars,
Kizzy said, but they want all the Ambi. Fine, Sissek said.
Good thing the GC's got our tab on this one, Jenk said.
Rosemary and Captain Big discussed logistics. Groups from both crews split up, leaving Jenks, Ohan, and a barely conscious Ashby, stars his eyes were finally open, under guard in the cargo bay. Rosemary took Kizzy's hand as they walked out the door with Captain Big. Kizzy squeezed back so hard that one of Rosemary's knuckles popped. Jenks' voice followed them.
Have fun stealing our stuff, assholes! Rosemary, you want to translate that?
She let that one go. Ashby lay on the bed in the med bay, trying to move as little as possible. Both his hands were occupied. His right hand was outstretched beneath the medical scanner, where a thick beam of light showed him where to position his wrist patch. Dr. Chef sat on the other side of the scanner, humming as he input directions for Ashby's immubots. Somewhere beneath Ashby's skin, two platoons of bots had separated off from their daily patrols and were now repairing the fracture in his jaw and the bruise on his brain. Dr. Chef had said a lot about granulation tissue and osteoblasts, but those things wouldn't have meant much to Ashby even if he hadn't been drifting along on a slow tide of painkillers. The part about lying still and not moving his jaw, though, that much he had understood. He could manage that. His other hand was gripped tightly within Sissek's claws. She sat beside him, giving a play-by-play of everything that had happened after he'd blacked out. Every so often, she let go of his hand to let him type a question on her scrib. Dr. Chef had banned talking for the time being. No one else was hurt. The Ambi, the food, none of that mattered. They were things, and things could be replaced. His crew couldn't be. The relief he'd felt upon learning he was the only one who'd wound up in the med bay topped anything that the painkillers could give. Where's everyone now? He wrote. Kizzy and Jenks are fixing the damage to the bay doors. They say it's mostly superficial. They already replaced the navigation hub, so that's working fine. Corbin started prepping a replacement algae batch the minute the Acorax flew off. I think Rosemary's tallying our losses, she smirked. And guess where Ohan are?
Quarters?
Sissek shook her head. They're sitting down in the cargo bay with the techs. Ashby stared at her. He blinked. I know. They're not talking or anything, just sitting there in a corner,
In their own little headspace, like always. But they haven't been back to their quarters at all. And they followed Kizzy down the hall when she went to grab some tools. Never thought I'd say this, but Ohan don't want to be alone right now. Ashby blinked again. Huh? He wrote. An hour passed. Dr. Chef gave a pleased nod and turned the monitor round for Ashby to see. The screen displayed a camera view from one of his Immubots, which was doing something to a big, white, spongy wall. His jawbone, he supposed. Other bots scurried around the peripheries of the frame, like swimming spiders. You're coming along fine, Dr. Chef said. Ashby took his word for it. He had no idea what was going on in there, and he always found the experience of seeing inside his own body to be unsettling. You can talk now, but small movements, please. The fracture hasn't fully healed yet, and your brain still needs some work. I could have told you that, Sissek said. Thanks, Ashby said, moving his mouth gingerly. Your sympathy is appreciated. He licked his lips. The inside of his mouth felt stale. Can I have some water? Sissek filled a cup from the sink. She held it to his mouth, helping him drink. Need anything else? No, he said. Or, wait, can you bring Rosemary in here? Sissek cocked her head toward the vox. Lovey, did you catch that? I'll get her for you, Lovey said. It's good to hear your voice again, Ashby. Thanks, Lovey, Ashby said. A few minutes later, a curly-haired head peeked round the doorway. You wanted to see me? Hey, Rosemary, Ashby said. Have a seat. The pain meds made his speech sound sloppy, as if he'd had a few too many drinks. He sincerely hoped he wasn't drooling. Rosemary pulled up a stool beside Sissek. Are you okay? She asked Ashby. I'm fine. Bastard busted my jaw, but it beats getting shot. He leaned his head back into the pillow, trying to think through the concussion and the medicated haze. I don't know why that guy hit me. He rubbed his eyes, trying to fight the wooziness away. Just to scare us, probably, Sissek said. Show us who's boss. I know I was scared. She laid her head on Ashby's arm. Rosemary studied Ashby's face. Something had her attention. What? He asked. Did you touch your face at all while you were talking to the Acherat captain? Like you're doing now? Yeah, maybe. Ashby pushed through the fog, trying to remember. I don't know. It all happened so fast. Something like this, maybe? Rosemary rubbed her eyes with her palm, as if she had a headache. Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I think I did. Rosemary grimaced. That explains it. See, this... She tucked her thumb back and held her fingers straight and flat, making her hand into a rough imitation of a Hermagian dactylus. She flexed her hand over her eyes twice. Is a really offensive thing to Hermagians, and those Acherax gestures and dialect were very Hermagian-influenced. What's it mean? Rosemary cleared her throat. It means you'd rather rub shit in your eyes than keep talking to them. Ashby blinked. He and Sissek both burst into laughter. Oh, he said, grabbing his jaw. Oh, ow. His jaw wasn't quite ready for laughter yet. Careful, said Dr. Chef. If it doesn't heal properly, we'll have to do this all over again. Sissek was still chuckling at Ashby. I'd have hit you for that, too. Yeah, said Ashby. He held his lips tight, trying to keep his jaw from moving too much. Likewise. At least you told them off, right? Right, he said with a restrained smile. I'm sure the psychological damage of my accidental insult cut them real deep. Speaking of damage, Rosemary said. She held up her scrib.
I've tallied our losses, filed an incident report, and I'm currently drafting a list for the transport board so they can cover... Ashby waved his palm at her. We can talk about all that later. That's not why I asked you here.
Oh?
I wanted to thank you. Without you, I'm not sure we would have got out of this one as well as we did.
Rosemary looked embarrassed.
I don't know. I just got lucky. There are a lot of cultures I know nothing about.
Maybe, but it was good luck nonetheless. And luck we wouldn't have had otherwise. More importantly, you had a cool head and kept everyone safe. Today would have been much, much worse if you hadn't been here.
He reached out to take her hand. I'm glad you're on my crew.
Rosemary started to say something, but whatever it was shifted into, "Oh, no." Her hand darted up to catch a tear running down her cheek. "Oh, stars, I'm sorry," she said. Another tear fell, and another. Rosemary put her face in her hands. The dam broke.
"Oh, hey now," Sissix said with a kind laugh, putting her arm around Rosemary's trembling shoulders. "Have you not had a chance to freak out yet?"
Rosemary shook her head, pressing her hand against her nose. Her whole face was leaking. Poor kid, Ashby thought. He wouldn't blame her if she wanted to take a safe, planet-side job after this. Hell, even he found the idea appealing.
These humans, huh? Sissix said to Dr. Chef. I took some time to freak out,
didn't you?
I sure did, Dr. Chef said.
He handed Rosemary a clean cloth. Once I'd medicated Ashby and got his bots going, I locked myself in my office and yelled for a good 10 minutes.
That's what that was, Ashby said. He had a dim memory of layers upon layers of haunting chords cutting through the waves of pain.
I thought you were singing. It was really pretty.
Dr. Chef gave a short, loud laugh.
Ashby, if the Acoraks think rubbing shit in your eyes is bad, the things I said in my office would have permanently scarred them.
He rumbled and cooed. But Sissix is right, dear, he said, placing a hand on the back of Rosemary's head. Your species does have a knack for emotional suppression. And as your doctor, I would like to say that driving straight into paperwork after negotiating at gunpoint wasn't a very healthy decision.
One of Rosemary's sobs turned into a solitary chuckle.
I'll remember that next time.
No next time, please, Sissix said. I'd rather not do that again.
Agreed, Dr. Chef said. He glanced at the bot monitor. Ashby, you've got about 2 more hours before you're all patched up. Nothing you can do but lie there and take it easy.
That's fine, Ashby said. I could use a nap. The drugs were weighing on him, and conversation had worn him out.
And I could use a meal. Ladies, would you care to accompany me to the kitchen? Let's see if we can't throw together some comfort food from whatever the Acoraks left behind.
He patted Rosemary's back. I've got some new seedlings that I think will make you smile.
Rosemary inhaled, pulling herself back together.
One more thing, she said. About Ohan.
Ah, Dr. Chef said.
Yes.
Was it
true?
Yes,
I'm afraid so. And I'm sorry I had to tear down Ohan's privacy like that. It was the only thing I could think to do.
Stars, said Rosemary. I had no idea.
I just found out too, Sissix said. She frowned at Ashby. And I still don't understand why that is.
Ashby sighed.
We'll argue about this later, Sis. My head is swimming.
Fine, she said.
You get to play the injury card this time.
She tapped a claw on his chest.
Later.
Once alone in the med bay, Ashby reached for the paper letter tucked away in his pocket. He made himself push back the drug's call for sleep just a few minutes longer.
A trait I am glad of.
I don't know how long this run will take.
It's a delicate one, and I know you won't be back to Central Space until next standard. But I have more paper, so at least I can say hello when I make market stops. And I'll send you a scrib letter as soon as I'm clear. This paper has far too little space for me to write everything I want to say. So know this. I love you. And I think of you always. Travel safe. Pay.
Once the bay doors were fixed and a meal was consumed, Jenks did several things. First, he took a shower. The whole ship felt gross now, after having those mech suit bastards pawing around. He couldn't scrub out the ship, but he could clean himself, at least. He ignored the 15-minute shower rule. It wouldn't be that much extra work for the water reclamation system, and today, of all days, Kizzy would forgive him for it. Back in his room, he retrieved the info chip from the pocket of his crumpled trousers. He sat naked on his bed, plugged the chip into his scrib, and read the message. Hey, buddy. Found a seller for that software upgrade we talked about. He's willing to get you the whole kit and caboodle, but he wants to be paid up front. Non-refundable, non-negotiable. You know how these specialty techs are. The guy you need to talk to is Mr. Crisp. I've heard his name kicked around before. Solid reputation. He's got his own asteroid and everything. Hell of a programmer, good with custom work. He's expecting to hear from you. Contact info's below. Please don't share it with anyone. And hey, think about what I told you. You sure this is the right upgrade for you? Come see us again soon. I'll make dinner this time. Or, well, I'll buy it, at least. Pepper. His eyes lingered over the word kit. He knew what Pepper meant. He thought about what she had said at Port Coriel, about responsibility and consequences. He thought about it just long enough to be able to say that he'd done so. He put on some trousers and walked down to Lovey's Core. They talked for hours. All the risks and dangers had been spoken of before a dozen times over. But as both Comptechs and AIs knew well, redundancy in the name of safety was always a good idea. There are two things that bother me, Lovey said. Not enough to say no, but we need to make up our minds about them. Shoot. First, if I transfer into a kit, the ship will be without a monitoring system. Since I'll effectively be quitting a job I care very much about, I want to make sure I have a good replacement lined up. Jenks drummed his fingers against his lips as he thought. I don't know why, but something about installing a new AI feels strange under the circumstances. Do you think she'd be jealous, seeing you walking around while she's living in your core? Depends on the AI, and whether or not she's interested in a body to start with. But I do think it could cause problems. Say, hypothetically, she sees me walking around, and she wants to know why she can't have the same opportunity. Why I got a choice that she didn't. That's a good point, Jenks said, frowning. And it wouldn't be fair, he sighed. So then, don't give up yet. I'm not finished. What if a non-sentient model replaces me? Jenks blinked. A non-sentient model could do Lovey's job, yes, with some heavy tweaking, but it would never be someone they could speak to in a relatable way. It would never really be part of the crew. Wouldn't that bug you? Why would it? Living with an AI that was designed to be less intelligent than you, just smart enough to do hard work, but not allowed to grow into something more. I don't know, I've always been on the fence about that. You're sweet, but that's silly. He smirked. Why? Lovey paused. Are you comfortable with the idea of beasts of burden? Horses, pulling carts, that kind of thing? Yeah, so long as they're treated well. Well, then, there you go. He'd need to chew on that. It'd be Ashby's call in the end. That's the second thing that bothers me. We keep glossing over what Ashby's going to do when he learns what we're up to.
Jenks sighed again, heavily. I honestly don't know. He's not going to be happy about it, but he won't report us. That's not his style. Best case, he gives me an earful, but lets us stay. Worst case, we have to leave. That worst case isn't unrealistic. He could lose his license if he's found knowingly carrying illegal tech. Yeah, but how often do we get searched? And when we do, it's not like... Jenks. What? The chances of us getting caught exist. I'm willing to take that risk. Ashby might not be. Is that something you're ready for? I'm not going to make you lose your job and your home over me. That's your choice, not mine. He laid his hand against her core. I know. I love this ship. I love my job. I love this crew. He ran his palm down the smooth, flawless curve. And I don't want to leave. But I won't be on the Wayfarer forever anyway. Someday, when the time's right, I'll go do other things. If that time gets chosen for me, well, okay. You're sure? He sat thinking, watching her light shine between his fingers. He thought of the familiar insides of the walls of the ship, the way Ashby trusted him to tweak them just right. He thought of the groove in his mattress that fit no one but him. He thought of drinking mech in the fishbowl, Sissix laughing, Dr. Chef humming. He thought of Kizzy, who he knew he'd be sitting with in some sketchy spacer bar 60 years down the road, both of them old and obnoxious. Yeah, he said quietly. Yeah, I'm sure. For a moment, Lovey said nothing. Even if it came to that, they wouldn't hate you. These people are always going to be your friends. Yours, too. I don't know about that. I do. He fell quiet. So, we're doing this? Sounds like it to me. There was a smile in her voice, a smile he longed to see. Okay. He nodded and laughed. Wow. Okay. I'll contact this guy tomorrow. He slept in the AI pit that night, his head nestled against a cold interface panel. He could feel the dull metal pressing little hatch marks into his skin. He fell asleep, imagining soft arms across his chest, warm breath against his cheek. Day 249, GC Standard 306. Cricket. It was an odd name for a moon. Calling it a colony was an exaggeration. Ashby could count 10 buildings nearby, plus a few solitary settlements peppering the hills and cliffs beyond. The roads were little more than flat grooves in the dirt. There were flight lights and pedestrian paths, but they looked like an afterthought. The sky was the color of sulfur, the ground the color of rust. Fine silt already settled thickly in the grooves of their breathing masks and the frames of their goggles. There were no other sapients in sight. Ashby held up a hand to block the glare of the white sun. Sissix? Her voice, like his own, was muffled behind a mask. Why are we here? Is this a philosophical question, or... He shot her a look. Why are we here, on this platform, right now? The platform in question was a thick sheet of industrial metal, orange around the seams, held up by support beams of dubious reliability. Kizzy and Jenks sat on the edge of the platform, ranting about some action sim, while Kizzy twisted bits of discarded metal into animal shapes. Rosemary was in a nearby kiosk, arguing with a malfunctioning AI about docking costs. A faded sign hung from the kiosk roof. Welcome to Cricket. Beneath this sign was a lengthy warning regarding the tendency of unlicensed subdermal implants to set off weapon detectors. Sissix adjusted her goggles.
As I remember it, Kizzy said, "You know what we need," and you said, "What?" And she said, "Guns," and you said, "No guns," and she said, "A shield grid, then," and added that she had some friends who could fix us up, and that they weren't too out of the way. "That much I recall," said Ashby. "I suppose my real question is, why did I agree to this?" "You were concussed and mildly sedated."
"Ah, that explains it.
I have to say, Ashby, having a few weapons on board for this job isn't a bad idea, especially in light of recent events."
"Don't you start, too. Us getting boarded was a freak occurrence at best. I've been flying all my life, and that's never happened to me before. I'm not filling my home with weapons just because we're feeling shaken up."
"Ashby, we're headed into what was very recently a war zone. You think there won't be other desperate, dangerous people out there?"
He touched his jaw. The bruises from the Acherax rifle were still fading. He revisited those horrible moments in the cargo bay, remembered how it felt to have strangers rip their way into his home. He recreated the incident, imagining a gun in his hand. Would he have fired? He couldn't say. But imagining the addition of a weapon in that scenario made him feel safer. He no longer felt helplessness. He felt powerful, and that was what scared him.
"I'm not compromising my principles over this, that's that."
"Fucking Exodons," Sissix said, but she said it with a smile. Ashby snorted a laugh.
"Kizzy said the exact same thing. She's making out like we need an entire planet-busting arsenal strapped to our hull."
"She was scared, Ashby. We all were. We all are." Sissix held his hand and nuzzled his shoulder with her cheek. Rosemary slammed the kiosk door behind her. "Stupid hackjob AI." She glowered as she tried to brush a stubborn clot of dust off her goggles. For as much as it cost to dock here, they could at least provide decent customer service.
"How much did it cost?" asked Ashby.
7,500 credits, said Rosemary. "Plus administrative fees. Not that I actually see any administrators around."
Ashby whistled.
"Damn," he said. "These friends of Kizzy's better be worth it."
Rosemary fidgeted.
"Ashby, it's a little sketchy here. I don't mind doctoring form work a bit, but..."
"Don't worry," said Ashby. "I'm not bringing any illegal equipment onto my ship, especially not when we're so close to Quellen space. I'm sure Kizzy's friends are trustworthy folks."
"How long have you known Kizzy?" Sissix said.
Ashby followed her gaze toward an open-top skiff humming its way to the platform. The driver stood up on his seat as he approached, even though the vehicle was still moving. He was a solidly built human man, younger than Ashby, wearing nothing from the waist up but an air mask, several carved pendants, and a small rocket launcher on a shoulder strap. Shaggy, burnt copper locks fell down past his shoulders, cloak-like. He had a beard to match, clipped short along his jawline, cascading into a braided curtain below his chin. His skin was darkly tanned, but the peach undertones indicated an isolated ancestry on an old fringe colony, far removed from Exodon intermingling. His chiseled muscles were covered with implanted tech ports and intricate tattoos, and his left forearm had been replaced by a multi-tool appendage, which looked homemade. As the skiff got close, Ashby could see thick scars braided down the seam between the tech arm and the man's skin. He had a feeling the surgery had been a home affair as well.
"Ah, great," Ashby sighed under his breath. "A shield grid was a good idea. A tweak-happy hackjob mod was something else entirely. How had he agreed to this?"
"Kizzy!" the skiff driver boomed, his voice jubilant. He spread his arms wide, reaching towards the sky.
Bear!
Kizzy squealed, tossing her half-folded metal rabbit aside. It sailed past a placard instructing dock users on the proper disposal of litter. She ran down the platform, steps two at a time.
Bear, 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 bear!
She launched herself over the side of the skiff and into his arms, knocking both of them back into the seat. Jenks sauntered after her, grinning. He and Bear clasped hands warmly as Kizzy hugged Bear's head, cheering,
"Hooray! Woo!"
Rosemary turned to Ashby.
"His name's Bear?" she asked in Ensk.
"Seems that way," Ashby said. "Does bear mean something?"
Sissix asked. The Ensk word stuck out awkwardly in Clip, especially with Sissix's accent.
"What's a bear?"
Ashby started walking. He nodded down towards the hulking, hairy man crushing their mech tech in his massive arms.
"That's a bear."
"Welcome to Cricket!"
Bear called out, giving them a wave. He was friendly, at least. Ashby extended his hand once he cleared the stairs.
"Hi there. Ashby Santoso."
"Ah, the captain."
Bear shook Ashby's hand. Ashby tried not to stare at his other arm, the one with the wires and scars.
"Kizzy speaks very highly of you."
Kizzy blushed.
"Shh,"
she said.
"He'll think I asked you to butter him up."
"You must be Sissix,"
Bear said, reaching out to shake her claws.
"It's nice to meet you."
He stared at her, holding her hand a little too long. He gave his head a shake, as if waking himself up.
"I'm really sorry," he said, looking embarrassed. "I don't get off-world much, and we don't get a lot of other species out here."
"That's all right," said Sissix, looking a little confused. She probably hadn't even noticed that the handshake was too long.
"And,"
Bear thought for a moment,
"Rosie, is that right?"
"Rosemary," she said with a smile, shaking his hand.
"Rosemary, got it.